Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, right around this time every Monday morning. And yes, we talk about food, glorious food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. And it's going to be 70 here today. It's frightening, I think, but, you know, it is March. E marzo e pazzo, as the Italians say. In any case, I am learning a new cuisine. There was a day when the New York Times called me a walking Google of food information, but I have to add to that of food, of Western culture food information. I did not know much about Indian, a little bit about, you know, Chinese, because that's my second soul food after spaghetti and meatballs. It's an egg roll and egg foo young. But those are the comfort foods. But Indian was not in my vocabulary at all until recently, when I realized that all the Indian food I get in from my neighborhood and actually from most places in Manhattan is just not very good. And it's all the same. So last week I mentioned that along with my cooking in a small kitchen being reissued 3.5 years ago, that's my first cookbook written 40-something years ago. Along with that was a book called Indian Cookery by Samin Rushdie. Now, this book is true Indian home cooking. Now, when I say Indian, it's like saying Mexican or there's so many different regional cuisines in India that I can't even begin to learn all of that right now anyway. What I'm seeing is, and I guessed this, but now I know it, that Samin Rushdie's food is northern Indian, Punjabi mainly, food. And there's a whole other cuisine, you know. Bob said to me the other day, he said, you make chicken, Indian chicken dishes. Aren't most Indians vegetarian? And I don't think most are vegetarian, but certainly there's a significant, very significant Indian vegetarian cuisine. But I did make two chicken dishes from Samin Rushdie's Indian cookery. As I said last week, this book has apparently become the book you give to a bride in England, if she's Indian. This is very Anglo-Indian, and the book was published in 1988. Apparently, a lot of ingredients were still not available to Indian home cooks living in London, although she mentions a neighborhood where you can buy certain things. So it's interesting. Now I'm going to like do sidebar here, and then I'll get to these chicken dishes. But a part of the beauty of Indian cuisine, and I think I can say this generally about the whole subcontinent, is rice. And I made a dish yesterday from Samin Rushdie's book called Chicken with Gravy. I'll get to the gravy. And it, of course, called out for rice. And, of course, the Indian rice is basmati rice. And I have never cooked basmati rice, confession. All other kinds of rice. I certainly know all about the three kinds of Italian rice. But I read in Samin Rushdie's book this complicated way of cooking rice, although in the end I see where you will end up with a great product, but she cooks the rice after rinsing it and soaking it, she cooks the rice in a large quantity of water and then drains it. Well, I could do that with any rice. I know from, you know, cooking other rices that there's a big difference between doing that and cooking the rice in just the right amount of water. Then I read in another Indian book that the secret to basmati rice is using very little water. And you don't need to rinse the rice, and you don't need to soak the rice. Just use for every cup of rice 1.5 cups of water. 1.5 cups of water. It doesn't sound like very much. But you start the rice in cold water. In other words, you know, put the rice and the water in the pot together and then cook it. Now, I go to buy basmati rice, and let me say, there's another rice out there that's that is apparently the same kind of rice as basmati rice, but grown in Texas. So it's called Tex-Mati rice, and it comes in a jar, screw top. I've had this rice before. It's okay. But I thought, if I'm doing, you know, if I'm really trying to learn here, I should do the real deal. And in fact, my supermarket had a brand called Jyoti. It's a very common brand, because on the back of these instructions that, and recipes that they provide inside the package, there's packages of their other product, their prepared foods, and I recognize the label. I think they sell these at Costco. In fact, I'm pretty sure they do. So JY, at least in my Costco, where there's probably a significant a South Asian population. So the instructions for this basmati rice said just combine the rice with 1.75 cups of water and to leave the pot cover slightly ajar while it's cooking, as opposed to almost every other rice recipe you would ever read, which says to cover the pot. But I'm thinking, you know, 1.75 cups of water with this cover ajar is pretty much the same as 1.5 cups of water with the cover closed. You bring it to a boil, you lower the heat, and you let it cook. You know, it took mine about 15 minutes, and there was no soaking, no rinsing, and the rice was so fluffy. And oh, by the way, and then I let it sit for 5 minutes with the cover on. And then we weren't going to eat immediately, and I remembered this trick that I learned from my mentor, Nika Hazelton, is to put a tea towel, or I used a paper towel, under the lid of the pot and close the pot, and the towel will absorb any excess, some steam, so excess water, so that it doesn't make the rice soggy, and the rice stays just the way it should, which is not to say with a bite. This is basmati rice, very delicate rice. I used 1.75 cups of water, 1 cup of rice, a scant tablespoon of butter, full regular butter, and a half teaspoon, I measured, half teaspoon of salt. As soon as the butter melted, I stirred it, partially covered the pot, and in the end, the rice held beautifully for about 20 minutes, and it was still steaming, by the way, even when I uncovered the pot. It was a good, nice, heavy pot, little pot. Meantime, I made these, so I must say, this rice was so delicious, it reminded me, it brought back a memory, when I was not only the food editor of the Daily News, but I was also the gossip editor, and I edited a section called Sunday's People, a celebrity section. It had the gossip columns of Liz Smith in it, Billy Norwich, Susie. I had to know who all these people were. I always said when I stopped knowing who the bold-faced names were, I was out of the culture. In any case, as a food story, since I had access to a lot of celebrities through a service called Celebrity Service, I was an editor on the Daily News allowable list. I was able to get the phone numbers of all kinds of celebrities. Now, my idea of a celebrity, and this is probably, I would guess, in the late 80s, were people like Lotta Lenya, Tammy Grimes. Those are the two that I remember that I actually talked to. And Lotta Lenya said, oh, the question was, what do you eat when you're alone? And Lotta Lenya answered, buttered rice in bed. And I've always remembered that. And it came back to me in a major flash as I was eating my buttered basmati rice. Didn't add butter, just that little pat of butter in the pot of rice did it. Basmati is very delicate. And I relished the rice. I haven't been eating rice in recent times, so that was part of the joy. Anyway, I also remembered that Tammy Grimes, I don't remember what Tammy Grimes said that she ate while she was alone, but I do remember that she kept calling me back to change the answer. And then I realized she was alone and she needed somebody to talk to. Anyway, back to Indian food. So I'm making these recipes sort of blindly, and then I started reading a book written by a friend of mine, Madhur Jaffrey, who lives in Columbia County, by the way, and is still going strong at 88. She is a very famous and very accomplished actress, as well as very accomplished cookbook and travel writer. Cookbook. I don't know how many cookbooks Madhur has written, but one came out only a few years ago. But the one that has sort of put the whole Indian thing in the right cook perspective for me is a tiny book called Madhur Jaffrey's Spice Kitchen. It's only 50 recipes introducing Indian spices and aromatic seeds. I didn't look to see if you could get it on Amazon or maybe on eBay as a secondhand book, but it also has drawings by Madhur Jaffrey, very charming, really illustrations of the different plants that the spices and herbs come from. And from Madhur I learned two new concepts about Indian food. There is the wet trinity, which is onions, garlic and ginger. I always have those things in the house. And there's the dry trinity of coriander seed, cumin seed, and turmeric. Those are the basic flavors of Indian food, of North Indian food. There are a lot of others. Asafoetida, I love saying it. I'm not sure I like eating it. It's sort of medicinal to me, fennel seed. I mean, there are a lot of other spices, don't need to tell you, saffron, a lot of other spices. But if you have coriander seed, cumin seed, and turmeric, onion, garlic, and ginger, you can make so many recipes. They're, you know, in combinations. And as Madhur explains in this book, it's like a painter with different colors that you can blend. I mean, you take blue and yellow and you get green, something totally different. Bob commented on one of the chicken dishes that I made is that he would never know what was in it. I guess that's sort of the point with a lot of Indian food. It's sort of a, I don't know, chemistry thing. Somebody should explain it to me. By the way, in Indian cuisine, all these spices, herbs, everything has medicinal quality. And Madhur explains all that. I'm going to repeat the title of this book. I happen to have it on my shelf, but you can probably find it somewhere. It's called Madhur Jaffrey's Spice Kitchen. Madhur is spelled M-A-D-H-U-R. She taught me how to say her name, Madhur. I don't know. I think most people say Madhur Jaffrey. Look her up on because her movies are fat. She's a great actress. I don't know what she's greater at, writing books or and a rap about Indian food or being an Anglo-Indian actress. Sameen Rushdie, who says this is her home cooking, meaning the food that she learned in her mother's kitchen, has a lot of chicken recipes. And one of these, I'm not sure, it may have been in Samin, by the way, is very, very, really handholds you through recipes. But I did not follow her instructions for basmati rice. It just seemed not necessary since the package. So I knew, you know, manufacturers want you to have a good result. So I always follow the package directions before I change anything. But the dish that I made first from Samin's is called tikka, grilled or barbecued chicken tikka. So I have to find out more about the word tikka, because, of course, Bob's favorite dish is America's favorite Indian dish, chicken tikka masala. Now, masala is referring to the sauce. I've yet to find the sauce in my Indian books that's called masala. Who knows? Maybe this is Indian-American masala, because they're almost all the same. You know, you go to an Indian restaurant anywhere that I know of, and you get chicken tikka masala, it's, you know, more or less the same. But this is a marinated chicken that you then grill. Now, I know that the chicken, theoretically, in chicken tikka masala from an Indian restaurant is made in a tandoor, but you know, who has a tandoor? So I was very happy to see this recipe made in my broiler. And I'm trying to learn how to use my broiler. It's not very good for, like, broiling a steak or lamb chops because it's not hot enough, even as close as I get to the heat source. But it is good for doing other things, like, for instance, I found it very good for grilling eggplant. You know, you don't have to be on top of the broiler for the eggplant to get charred, or even slices of eggplant. And zucchini the same. And actually, I often do red pepper with some oiled breadcrumbs. It's good for that, too. Now I'm finding it's good for these Indian dishes that require top heat, or, you know, not an oven. So this is a marinade with based on yogurt. Ah, that's the other. You know, you have to have yogurt in the house to cook Indian, I realize now. And if it's not to go in the dish, you may want it on the side in some way or another. And there are many ways of serving yogurt. I'm new at this, but this is a really easy recipe. That's why I picked it. And with things I had in the house. And we loved it, and we even liked it the next day cold. So this is, by the way, for about 2 pounds of chicken thighs, which by me is like 4 chicken thighs. You take the skin. Oh, I can't fail to tell you this. Take the skin off the chicken thighs and save it. I'll tell you what to do with it in a minute. And a half a cup of yogurt, the marinade is a half a cup of yogurt, at least 4, maybe 5 cloves of garlic. I did crush mine, but I think next time I'm going, and I crushed it in a mortar and pestle with a little bit of salt, of course, chunky salt. But in the next time I may do it a little differently, like maybe grate it. I think grating it is, I'm into grating garlic, so I would grate it in. And a cube of ginger. She uses this expression very frequently, Samin Rushdie, meaning about an inch square of fresh ginger, a root. Now, I use a little bit more than that because I grate it in on a microplane, and I like doing that, too. And, you know, you always end up with the stub, so you want a little bit more so you can hold on to that piece. Mixed in with that, now we have the yogurt, garlic, and ginger. And the here come the dry ingredients. Samin calls for a whole teaspoon of chili powder. I know my customer, so I only put in a half teaspoon, which was enough. I could have used a little more. If you like it hot, make a whole teaspoon of cayenne pepper. That's what I use, cayenne pepper. You know, ground cayenne you buy in the supermarket. And then a teaspoon of ground coriander, I'll get to that in a second, and a half teaspoon of ground white cumin. Now, those are the dry trinity. So, without the turmeric, so instead you got the chili powder, you want to toast these. So I read this somewhere, that coriander and cumin brown at the same rate. So that's why you will often see them toasted together in a pan. So for one, I do rounded because in the end it's going to be ground, it's going to be less. So a rounded teaspoon of coriander seed and a rounded half teaspoon of cumin seed, and put those in a hot cast iron skillet and push them around until you see them changing color. I don't try to do too much of this because they burn easily. So I take it off the heat as soon as I see them getting darker. Sometimes you will smell them. I don't smell them so much. But when you grind them up now, they will smell fabulous. And I did that in a mortar and pestle, too. But if you have a little electric spice grinder, which I do have, by the way, and I do use, but I've been using it for grinding chilies, and I didn't want to clean it to do this. So I did it by hand in my little mortar and pestle. It was fine. I like doing that. And that's it. That's your marinade. You put the chicken without the skin. I do it on the bone. I think chicken cooks better on the bone, but you could do, I'm sure that, and I only did thighs. I'm sure you could do any parts you want. I will try it, in fact, with just bone out, you know, chicken thighs, which are easy to find these days. But the cooking time will be a little different. But after marinating it for about 2.5 hours, I didn't have to scrape off anything. I put it on a foil-lined baking sheet about, and I adjusted my shelf so it was about 6 inches from the heat source, not close to the heat source at all. And I happen to have a jar of clarified butter, otherwise known as ghee in Indian, G-H-E-E, at the back of my fridge. I had no idea if this was going to be good anymore because I made it so long ago. But amazingly, without the milk solids in it, it was delicious. I tasted some just like that. It really was. So I used that, about maybe a tablespoon I spread on the baking sheet, and then I used another couple tablespoons to drizzle over the chicken, and I put it under the broiler 10 minutes until I started seeing specks of brown and on one side, and then I turned it and did another 10 minutes. And then I turned it again and did a final 10 minutes. And after a half an hour, the chicken was nicely done. I had 6 thighs for this amount of marinade, by the way, and which was really closer to 3 pounds than 2.5 pounds. And I let it sit for a few minutes, and it was fabulous. The other dish that I made, I'm not sure I have time to give it, but It's the one that encouraged me to make basmati rice because it's in chicken in a gravy, says Samin Rushdie. The gravy incorporated both the dry trinity and the wet trinity, meaning, and I love this, in Samin Rushdie's book she gives the amount of onion in ounces. She's giving you 12 ounces of onions in this recipe, which is 2 medium onions. By me, the definition of a medium onion is 5 to 6 ounces. So 2 medium onions. And here's something I still have to figure out. When they say, they, meaning Indian cooks, say finely chopped, do they mean finely chopped or do they really mean ground? I did see a recipe that called for ground onions. And I'm thinking you might want to chop these even finer than you did, Arthur. But the way I did it, which was tiny, tiny mince, it's 2 cups of onions, by the way, and you put that in 4 or 5 tablespoons of ghee, or vegetable oil, if that's all you have, and you saute them until they get golden. When they are golden, you throw in your garlic and your ginger, and I used that cube of ginger again, and 4 or 5 cloves of garlic, I don't remember, but, you know, I just sort of whatever. And this time I didn't crush the garlic. I finally chopped the garlic. And I thought that was okay in the end. 2 teaspoons of, when that's cooked for just a minute or so, and you could smell the garlic, add 2 teaspoons of ground coriander. I did toast my coriander first. 1 teaspoon of turmeric, 1 teaspoon of red chili powder. I regret that I only used 1/2 teaspoon, but I will use the full teaspoon that Samin tells me to this time. And we turn the chicken and the onion and spices until it's all coated very nicely and starting to turn from raw color to a sort of cooked color, but it won't be cooked. And then you pour in 1 cup of regular full-fat whole milk yogurt, not Greek yogurt, regular yogurt, and you pour that. She tells you to whisk it, and I did stir it very well, and because it makes it more liquid, and pour that in over the chicken. I shook the pan to distribute the yogurt a little bit, covered the pot, and let it simmer very gently for 15 minutes. Uncovered the pot, turned the chicken in the sauce that was already being created. It looked a little curdled, didn't scare me. I knew that was going to happen. And then I added chopped tomatoes. Now, I happen to have the 9 ounces of tomato exactly that Samin Rushdie called for in nice, fresh tomatoes. And I added them minced. And I must say, I like the effect, but I think maybe next time I'm going to try a canned tomato and see, you know, maybe even a can of chopped tomatoes and see the difference. I think I might like it, the tomatoes falling into a sauce and making it a little redder. It might even be like the masala that Bob is craving. Anyway, that was it. Another 15, 20 minutes. With the pot covered, I had a little bit too much. I thought a little bit too much liquid in the sauce, so I took out the pieces that were done, and I simmered the sauce at a little higher flame to reduce it a little bit. Put the chicken back in, and that was that. Samin tells you to garnish it with fresh coriander, but if you don't like coriander, I think fresh mint is perfect. Chicken
right.
In a great on basmati rice, even better than Lada Lenya's butter. No, actually, not better than Lada Lenya's butter rice, because after I ate the gravy on rice, we still had more rice. We ate a lot of gravy, and I ate the rice plain. What a treat! And it was lightly buttered from the pat of butter I put in. It was just heavenly. So now I'm in. Oh, by the way, I had a laugh at this, since we're not eating much. The reason we haven't been eating more Indian food, I've got to say, is that I have trouble eating Indian food without some rice. and the Indian food we can get around here isn't very good. But the basmati rice package says that good basmati rice, I learned this, is aged before it's even packaged and released, usually a year. But in fact, they say on the package that it gets better over time and that it can keep for at least 10 years. Not that you will ever keep it that long, but they say they can't promise anything after 10 years. But that's funny because I'm not going to eat a lot of it. It's going to be my big treat now.
All right.
Anyway, yes.
Indian food.
Yeah, you know, they say a good way to stave off Alzheimer's is to learn something new. So I tried learning a new language, Spanish, because I'm going to go to a few places in Spain this spring. But I should tell you about that. Maybe I can broadcast from Spain.
That'd be great.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
On my cell phone?
On your cell phone, yeah. What we could do is even I could set up a Zoom conference where I Zoom you just click on a link and you talk into your cell phone. Don't even need, as long as you have internet service.
Mr. Technology. I could barely find messages on my phone. So.
All right.
You know, for years I said, truthfully, I really did used to say that I couldn't operate anything beyond a blender.
Well, now you can operate a cell phone.
I do have a phone, and little by little, I learn more. I think I'm more interested in learning about Indian cuisine than I am how to use my cell phone more. I use it well enough. But Indian cuisine, I decided that, you know, it's conquerable. I only had the revelation the other day that it is actually conquerable. Now that Maduro has set me straight on the spices, and also a word that I never heard before, tarka, which is a tarka, is when you infuse oil with seasonings, mainly spices, but also onion, garlic, ginger, and you know it's really the same as a sofrito, a batuta, a mirepoix, you know, all these great cuisines. Chinese, by the way, too. They have that garlic, scallions, ginger thing going. You add garlic, scallions, ginger, a little soy sauce, and it tastes Chinese.
All right, Arthur, we'll speak to you next week.
All right, take care.
Have a good week. Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can find him at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.